Podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here at the Cybersecurity Challenge and I'm talking with the acting CEO, Nigel Harrison.
Hello, Ian. Thanks very much for coming here today and seeing what we're doing.
You've got a whole bunch of people here today from a different age group. When I've attended previous challenges, you've had from very young to people in their 40s, 50s. Today, you've kind of restricted that. Can you give us some idea of what the restriction on age group has been today?
There's been twofold. We're actually using this competition, which is the one day face-to-face, we're using it as an opportunity to look for people for general age groups, all ages, for the masterclass, which comes up in November. But we're also looking at it as a selection camp for those who are going to look to be in the UK team for the European Cybersecurity Challenge, which takes place in October. The maximum age of competitors there is 25, so there's a slight skewing this time towards the younger age group.
That younger age group's going to be quite critical to us as we start resolving the problem of cybersecurity workforce. A lot of people are saying they've got to wait for people to come out with a degree, but actually there's an opportunity to engage earlier. You have a Centurion challenge at the moment. Could you give us a view on what you're doing with that and who you're targeting?
Yeah, absolutely. Cyber Centurion is now just about to start its fourth year of operation, and this is a competition for 12 to 18 year olds, teams of up to five young people with an over 18 adult as a mentor. We've got a target this year of reaching 250 different school teams to compete, and they'll go through three rounds in November, December and January, with the finals in early March of that competition. And we're looking for young, talented people. It's not pitched to be impossible for young people to pick up, but it's not pitched to be too easy for the young people to pick up either. So it's trying to pitch it in the middle. And this year, to help us grow the diversity, we've decided to stream it into four different categories. So rather than just one general category, we've got a strand for all girls teams, we've got a strand for all boys teams, a strand for mixed teams, and a strand for cadets. So we can try and encourage those who are members of ACFs, Marine cadets, Combined cadets, Air cadets, etc., can all have a go as well at this competition.
I'd like to start with the cadet bit and then come back to the others. We know we have a shortage of people in the British Armed Forces. We know we need to beef up the cyber force. Is part of this also an opportunity to give them a view on what might be going on and to give them a first look as to what cybersecurity actually means?
Absolutely. I know that the MOD is going through a bit of a process trying to identify where it's going to get its new cyber workforce for the future. They are looking at a number of strands, but they're certainly working with us and supporting a number of our events to try and help build that younger pipeline. There are going to be, and indeed there are, good jobs for bright young people who've got a bit of a cyber talent in the armed forces.
How do you engage effectively with schools? Schools are struggling to bring on the government's IT curriculum at the moment. The problems of finding teachers who can code. When we start to throw cyber in, which is in many ways a much more complex, difficult process, how much resource are you having to put into the schools? How many schools are actually coming to you and saying, look, we'd like to be involved with this. What can you do for us?
Already, the challenge has teaching materials and other resources on our website, specifically designed for teachers to help them build lesson plans and such like, give them guidance and particularly give them confidence to be able to teach the subject. We are also looking to build up from this summer a mentoring scheme where we will try and place people who are already in the industry with and connect them to schools in their immediate area to offer mentoring support to those teachers, not specifically to the children, but to the teachers, so that they can then give the lesson plans and such like. So that's something we're doing, is trying to do that support process, building that mentoring up. But we're also just waiting for the announcements now on what's going to happen with the new program that the government's announced to do with schools and after school clubs and the whole program under Cyber First for schools competitions, schools outreach training. That's going to be announced, I think, in the next couple of weeks. We're looking to see what their plans are in that sphere. But I think there's a lot of investment going to be coming on stream very soon to help teachers and other adults who are interested in supporting this into getting that next generation infused.
How much interest and investment are you seeing from the industry? If we look at general IT, the industry has seen it as an opportunity to sell rather than necessarily invest. With cybersecurity, it's a slightly different skew. They're actually looking for their next generation of workforce for many of these companies. Are you finding that as you opened up the Cyber Centurion Challenge, that cybersecurity companies are coming to you and saying, we'd like to be involved? Oh, you've got an educational stream. What can we offer in there? How can we be those mentors?
Absolutely. The challenge, we represent, effectively, I'd say, we have a consortium behind us of nearly 70 organisations from private sector, public sector, academia, and many of those come to us and say, we'd like to be involved in your school's programme, or we'd like to be involved in your university's programmes. We give them every encouragement to do, and we run a number of schools' outreach events at the moment, roadshows, competitions for schools, where we take it to the school rather than it being a virtual competition. We're always finding support from all of our sponsor organisations, so they do see it as a real win to invest in the young people.
One of the challenges of schools being involved in anything, and I have involvement in sport with organisations, is you tend to see the private schools often do better than comprehensives. You see single-sex schools often do better than multi-sex schools. Cybersecurity is quite an interesting difference here, because actually there's nothing that suggests that there will be a difference across all these, because it's new to everybody. Over the last few years, are you seeing a good enough mix of the people coming through to be able to make a definition as to whether you're seeing one group or another doing better? Or are we actually seeing a whole new subject that's a completely open playing field for everyone?
I think in many circumstances that a good number of the people who enter the profession have at least the, if not the support of their parents, at least have the acceptance from their parents that they can get on and do these things. But quite a lot of parents in this area are encouraging their youngsters to do it. It sometimes is not seen as something which those from a disadvantaged background particularly think they want to do or get involved in. I think we need to do more in that area in terms of particularly the disadvantaged. We need to do more in terms of getting that gender balance and the diversity. There are far more boys than girls enter the profession when they get to that sort of 18 to 20 odd. Earlier on, there's a bit more of a balance, but by the age of 15, 16, the girls' interest in coding and computing is starting to wane off, as it's seen as a, sadly, sexist-wise, it's a boys' sort of thing to do, for many of them. And we've got to break that mould and see what we can do to change those perceptions. We are doing some things in that way. One of the things we're looking to do is we're setting up a charity, which is going to be called Cyber Challenge Foundation, which is looking to promote careers in cybersecurity, particularly to young people, the disadvantaged, and in support of getting diversity and gender balance within the workforce. And that's going to be, hopefully, be able to do some of that support for some of those goals as well.
And that diversity and gender balance is urgently needed. If we look around cybersecurity teams, they're, as you say, very heavily male dominated, but they're also very heavily middle class dominated. That means they tend to miss some of the underlying reasons for attacks. They don't necessarily see what is going on or why certain groups are being targeted. Do you think the industry itself is doing enough to widen its appeal?
Probably we could do better, is where I'd put it. We have worried to some extent about gender, but we haven't worried about the inclusion perhaps of those who are on the autistic spectrum, and we're starting to do something there about neurodiversity. I think in terms of that whole piece of looking at those who are from disadvantaged backgrounds, have we done enough? No. Has anybody done enough? No. And I think we do need to do some more work in that area. I think the perhaps a little bit of the balance might be restored as we see a more of a rollout of cyber apprenticeships. And that will inevitably see some of those who are put off by the extortionate fees charged by universities, those huge tuition fees, they'll perhaps see that this is a better way, a more practical way, but a more cost-effective way of getting into a career. And indeed, we've got one young man in the room today who has been approached today by one of the employers here to talk about an apprenticeship. He doesn't want to go into university, hadn't really appreciated those opportunities existing in apprenticeships, and had a conversation just today.
One of the big issues that comes along with this, though, is problem solving. If we take a wider view of what we see going on, a lot of people are challenged in how do they approach a problem, how do they solve a problem. When we think about cybersecurity, everybody tends to focus in on the technical side. But actually, it's just a small part of the wider problem of solving security. It's how do the hackers get the information? How do they work their way into an organisation? How do they overcome some of the obstacles that we try and put up as defenders of organisations? How do we widen challenges like this? How do we widen the people we select from and look more for people with problem-solving skills rather than just focusing on coders?
That is a real challenge that we need to get away from, this concept that those in cybersecurity either still are or have been people who wear hoodies and hunch themselves over a computer at 2 o'clock in the morning in the bedroom. That is not the reality. It is a career opportunity for people with all sorts of diverse skills. Yes, technical skills are a good thing, but we need people who can look at and analyse risk and vulnerabilities in a understanding, analytical sort of sense. We do need to do that. We need to have people who've got the soft skills to understand all of the problems and challenges of social engineering and how we can counter those sorts of threats. Because it's quite right, it's a very well said thing, but 70% of the vulnerability of any organisation is its people, not its technology. How do you get through to that? We've got to get more people who understand those things, understand human motivation and behaviour, and can suggest ways around that. And that means we've got to get those soft skills in. We've got people, I'm not sure of all the backgrounds today, but I've met in the last few months people who are just entering the profession now who are history graduates, have got all sorts of degrees, but actually if they've got the mindset, that's it. And I think one of the things that we are doing is looking particularly to engage with the gaming community. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who play games, and there are millions of people in this country who play games, have that sort of mindset, that inquisitive approach to life. If they can't get through that part of a game, how do they get around it? How do they work and attack it? They're continually trying. And that sort of mindset's really good, which is why we've invested a lot of money in setting up an online gaming platform. It's called Syphinx. It's available through our website. It allows people to come into a gaming environment and find our competitions and find a lot of information about cybersecurity. And we hope that that will appeal to some of that gaming community to also come into careers in cybersecurity.
And that's important, isn't it? Because if we go back to the 70s, the way we started to solve our problem with programmers was we started to look at people who are doing maths degrees and arts degrees and offer them a new opportunity, computer science. Now we need to reinvest some of that same sideways thinking and maybe approach people who are doing degrees in human resources or in psychology and bring those people across. One set of organisations who've got experience of doing that, of course, is the intelligence services. How do we get the industry itself to understand we've got to widen? Because part of this will come from industry vendors saying this is what we do, so that employers begin to realise, oh, this is perhaps what we should be doing. And then we learn from those intelligence services and those processes.
We are starting to see that message get out. I think the real challenge is in the career services at universities, the career staff in schools who just don't have enough exposure to what sort of characteristics are being needed in the cyber workforce. There's got to be an investment of time and energy to get those people who are those advisors, the trusted font of knowledge on what career options are there. They've got to get re-educated on what cyber's about. And I think we've got to get over this perception that cyber's not a profession. It is becoming a proper profession now. We've got to sell it as a profession. We've got to sell it as a profession which sits alongside law, medicine and such like. But we've also got to get all the other professions to see cyber as being part of their jobs. There is a big demand for lawyers who understand information law, data protection, all those sorts of things. There's a big piece there. HR and then the recruiting side, there's a big part there. Commercial officers, those who do contracts and such like, they've got to be able to understand what they're doing when they contract down to subcontractors, tasks and requirements. They've got to be able to flow that down so that they put an emphasis on getting that right, so that they, as the parent company, don't get introducing more cyber risk into their organisation. So those sorts of people need to have an understanding of cyber. And the list goes on. There's a lot of what we regard now as professions who need to have their own understanding, their own piece of this. It's not just a single cyber profession. There is also those peripheral parts in all those other professions which need to be attached.
I think the positive thing for me is 4 or 5 years ago, we'd have been talking a much more negative story. We're finally starting to see a widening of the whole conversation. We're starting to see more awareness of it, but not that it's all doom and gloom and that the sky's falling. We're actually moving forward. How do we accelerate that? Can we accelerate that?
I think it needs a concerted effort. I think we need to be prepared to collaborate more. I think there's lots of indications that we are doing that. As an organisation, the challenge, we started our roots, it was mainly in organisations who supported us in the first days, people like GCHQ, people like BT, very, very much in their interest, their direct field. We've now started to take on board sponsors, organisations from other areas. We've got Barclays Bank as one of our sponsors. We're hoping that there's going to be another bank on our sponsor list in the next couple of weeks. We've got National Grid. We're looking at those industries now. We're in talks with people in the retail sector. Those sorts of people are coming to us, realise they've got challenges as well, and they've got to collaborate to take on board cyber staff. And particularly, it's very interesting, the theme today we've been talking about, and the whole competition has been based on the Internet of Things. Mm-hmm. And it's quite clear that a lot of those Internet of Things connected devices are inherently very insecure. Mm-hmm. Security has not been designed in from the start. At best case, it's been an afterthought that's been added in many cases. And I think that giving this exposure today to this whole area will hopefully see some of these young people who are here today think about careers in that sort of field, where they're getting involved in those end devices and the security of those, not just in devices of big computer networks and such like.
Nigel, thank you for your time today.
No problem.